Turn with me to the Psalms. Psalm of David, 103. 103rd Psalm, Psalm of David. David begins this psalm with praise of God. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, because himself, David, and all men like David were insufficient to offer up praise to God, answerable to the greatness of His benefits. He summons, in the end of this psalm here, He summons the angels and all the creatures on the face of the earth to join Him in blessing the Lord. Verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearken unto the voice of His word." He summons the angels to join Him in praising God and thanking God. In verse 21, He said, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure." Join with me, King David said. Join with me. I cannot in myself give unto Him the praise and worship that's due Him. I cannot do it because of the insufficiency of myself. So you join me. "Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." You see, you and I, when I say a man, I mean you and I. I mean men, women, boys and girls. I mean members of Adam's fallen race. A man is too shallow to comprehend the excellency of God. He's so dull a creature to offer up due praise to God Almighty in regard to the excellency of His nature, and in regard to the great benefits that he receives from the bountiful hand of God. He's so dull. He's so senseless. He's so ignorant that he can't recognize the excellence of the nature of God, the true and the living God, in all of His splendor, all of His majesty, all of His might, all of His power. We're so prone to forget Him that healeth all our diseases, and get on with something else. Apt to forget His blessings and His mercies. And our souls must be jogged. Our memories must be jogged, must be roused up. We need to be constantly roused up to do what we ought to do, to give unto God what belongs to Him, praise and honor and glory. You wouldn't think that you and I, being, if we are recipients of life eternal, if we've been delivered from the pit, if our lives have been delivered from being destroyed, if God has given us a lively hope, a good hope in Christ Jesus unto eternal life, that if we have wrestled with this blessed truth of who the Lord Jesus is and what He come to do, and we have some idea of it, and we feel like that we've received this dear man, the God-man, received Him as our Savior, but our trust. You wouldn't think that we'd be so easy to forget Him. That's the reason He instituted the Supper of the Lord. And He said, as oft as you do this, you show forth My death till I come again. He said, when you do this, this do. He took the bread, this unleavened bread, He took that bread and blessed it and break it. He took the wine and He blessed the wine, and He gave it to the disciples, and He eat of the bread, drink of the wine. He said, this do, and as oft as you do, you show forth My death until I come. We got to be reminded. We got to have our memories and our souls roused by the Word of God. Remind, because we're insufficient in ourselves to remember. We get carried off with other things. We concentrate too much on what's going on now. Roused up. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all. Notice that. And all that is within me. And He calls upon the angels. He calls upon all the host, the army of the host of heaven. He calls upon the ministers. He calls upon all His works in the places of His dominion. Join with me, He said, and all that is within me, that is, every power of my rationality, every part of my sensitivity, all my faculties, all my thoughts, everything within me, let us bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, every part of me, join and bless His name. God will be blessed. God will be praised. We'll either praise Him now, we'll either bow now, or we'll bow some other time, because we're all going to bow. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. They're all going to do that. If you bow now, I bowed to it. Not because I'm smarter than anybody else. I bowed to Him because God visited me. Not literally, I had no vision. But I became conscious. I became aware of my needs as a sinner. And He revealed unto me that my needs are all met in Him who has sent. So I bowed to it. I only did that which all men shall do sooner or later. That's all I did. I bowed to Him ahead of time. All men will bow to Him. See? Every every knee. Just think of that vast multitude of all the peoples who ever walked the face of the earth, all the babies that ever died, all together, they're all going to bow. Going to do something then that they should have done now. Praise Him. I want to praise Him. My desire is to praise Him, to thank Him, to live in such a manner that I wouldn't offend His honor, that somehow I could glorify His name. I don't think I have. I don't think that I've ever done anything in my 40-some years to glorify Him. Nothing. I haven't done anything that's worth mentioning. Nothing whatsoever. But I long and live for the day that God will produce in me a minute of praise. A minute of pure love for Him and Him alone. Maybe He will. I don't know. We seem to be void of a pure and entire love to God Almighty. We have no mind for Him for some reason or the other. I know wants, what we want, will spur us to prayer, won't it? When we want something. When somebody's sick in our family, we'll pray, won't we? Oh, Lord, have mercy on so-and-so. I told you that I talked to a fella just recently that I've known for some time, not knowing him intimately, just knew what his name was and knew he had a couple of boys and knew what their names was. I never spent more than 5 minutes at one time conversing with him about anything. But I happened on him and he told me, he said, I said, how you doing? All right. Yeah, I'm doing okay. He said, I've been very weak in the last several months. I don't seem to have strength. And he said, they finally talked me into going to the doctor, and they said I had cancer of the lung. And he said, in 3 weeks from today, I'll have this lung taken out. And I said, well, I certainly am sorry to hear that. I'm sorry for you. And he said, when we started to part our ways, he said, pray for me. Pray for me. When we want something, we'll seek His face, won't we? Want will spur us, will rouse us up to seek the face of God. Well, a good example. I'm going to give you a biblical example of what I'm trying to say. The Israelites, it was down there in Egypt. You know how they got there. And they stayed there 400 years. And they were slaves. I mean, they were slaves. They were slaves of the Egyptians. The Egyptians didn't do anything. The Israelites done it all. And they was down there for 400 years. But you know the story, how God spake to Moses in the burning bush and told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to leave my people go. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He said, thumbs down on that idea. I'm not going to lose this cheap labor. We're not going to build these great big monstrosities that we're building down here. I'm trying to think of the name of them. What are they? Them big pyramids. We're building these big pyramids. We need all the help we can get. We need some fellas to mix the mortar, carry the stone, cut the stone, and all those things. Unheard of. I'll not let them go. Who sent you? He said, well, I am that I am hath sent me. me out of the burning bush, and the bush wasn't consumed, and he sent me. Well, he wouldn't let them go. He wouldn't let them go. But God undertook for those children of Israel. They were his nation. He had set his affections upon them. He had called them out of the Ur of the Chaldees from the loins of Abraham, set them apart from every other nation on the top side of the earth. And he came to blows for them. And his judgment fell upon these Egyptians. And he himself, by his own hand, totally defeated Pharaoh and his army. And he drowned them and their proud hopes of victory in the Red Sea. And he said, these people will never bother you again. That's what he said. All right. And instead of being thankful, the Israelites, in bondage 400 years, God came down. They wouldn't listen to his word, the Egyptians, so he went to blows with the Egyptians and drowned them all, every one of them, instead of them being thankful. Now the Bible says that they lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. They lightly esteemed God who delivered them. How could that be? Well, you see, brethren, it's what I'm trying to say. We need to be roused up. We're insufficient unless we're roused up. That's the reason we have service 3 times a week. The word might be preached and our hearts might be reminded of who God is and what God's done for us. We can offer him up sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Well, they lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. Instead of being thankful for breaking the yoke that bound them in captivity, they were angry with God. They got angry with the God of all goodness. As a matter of fact, they repented that they had ever complied with him for their own deliverance. They regretted that they had been brought out of Egypt. And they were angry that they were free men. And they wanted to return to the oppression of the tyrants of Egypt. Isn't that right? I'm telling you the history, the story. It's a biblical illustration of what we are. We soon forget. We are as brands snatched from the burning. But we soon forget the burning. And we soon forget who snatched us from the burning. And we've got to be roused up in order to give unto our God praise. All that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all, every part of me. They wanted to return to these tyrants of Egypt rather than have God for them as their governor and eat the manna that came from the bountiful hand of God. Let me read something to you over here in the book of Numbers, chapter 11 and verse 18. Listen to this. Chapter 18, verse 18. And say thou unto the people, this is God speaking to Moses, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat. Now listen to this. This is what they said. For it was well with us in Egypt. Yeah, well, everything was all right when we was down in Egypt. At least we got some food. And then they go on, come on down here in the 20th verse. But even a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils. I'm going to give you food. Not for one day, 5 days, 2 days, 10 days, or 20 days. But I'm going to give you meat for one whole month. And it'll come out, until it comes out your nostrils. And be it loathsome unto you. Because that ye have despised the Lord, despised God which is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, why did we come out of Egypt? See? Why did we do that? They lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. All of this, brethren, is high contempt for God. Now, after the psalmist had called the angels and the army of the host and everything that wiggles and moves to join with him and to call forth their souls and his souls unto the praise unto God, he sets forth the divine blessing of God that he, that is David, had received in verse number 3. Listen to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Join me in this. And after he says we ought to bless the Lord and forget not His benefits, and he says, who forgiveth? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy disease? That is, His redemption from death or destruction is what he's talking about. Who forgiveth all of our iniquities? Healeth all of our disease. All your iniquities. All of our... What he's talking about, he pardoned all their sins. David said, he hath pardoned all my sins. Oh, we know David. David was a godly man. And he ruled wisely in most cases over the children of Israel. But there was a time when David wasn't that wise. There was a time when David took Bathsheba unto himself. Uriah. The wife of Uriah, I believe it was. He took his wife and he sent Uriah down to battle. Put him, and he told Joab, the captain of the army, he said, put him up there on the hottest, in the most dangerous part of the battle. Put him up there. He wanted him killed. David, who's singing here? Bless the Lord, they said, oh my soul, and all was in me. Bless His holy name. David said, have him killed. And they come to David and they said, David, tell you a little story here. He said, there's a man only had one little old lamb. That's all he had. And his neighbor over here had a whole field full of them. But this man only had one. His neighbor come over and took that lamb. He took the lamb and said, I want him, and he took him away. And David immediately said, oh, he said, the man that does that, I'll have his head before the night falls. Who is he? And Nathan the prophet pointed at old David, and he says, you're the man. You're the man, David. You took Bathsheba. You had all the women you could handle. And you took her. You're the man. David committed adultery with that woman. David premeditated murder. regard to her husband, had him killed and all that. And God said, the sword shall never depart from thy loins anymore. Now on. It's trouble from you from now on, David. But anyhow, David says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, all of them? All of David's sins and the penalty due his sins was laid on the surety, was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, God of all mercy hath forgiven us all of our iniquities. Who forgiveth all of our iniquities and healeth all of our diseases. Listen to me now. Healed our diseases. That is the disease of our soul. I know that these Pentecostal people, they say that, right here, they say, well, he heals all of our disease. So all of our diseases is in the atonement, and we ain't supposed to be sick. Ain't nobody supposed to be sick. Nobody's supposed to be sick. It's because we don't have faith to believe or something, but nobody's supposed to be sick. Well, that's not right. He's not talking about physical ailments. He's talking about the disease of the soul. We're sinners. And sin is a loathsome disease, and it must be healed. And that's when it was healed. Healed on the tree. Healed us of our sickness, and the loathsome disease of sin. Oh, we still sin. But it's not charged to us. All of it was laid on Him. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And now listen to this. And now, He expected even glorification. And this is several hundred or a thousand or more years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He believed the promise. And He expected glorification because He says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Save thy life from being destroyed. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who redeems our life from destruction? Crowns us with all these mercies. Oh, my soul. All true blessings. Can you get this, brethren? All true blessings grow up from the pardon of sin. Forgiveth all iniquities. This is the first blessing. This is the top and the crown of all others. It sweetens all other blessings when we come to that place that by faith, we trust in Him as our sin bearer. That our sins are all gone. The most blessed thing that I know of to my poor soul here this morning is that I'll never be judged for my sins. I'll never. Isn't that something? Wonder of wonders. I'll never be judged for any iniquity, transgression, sins, universal or personal. Sins of word or thought or deed, I won't be judged. He hath forgiven me on the ground of my substitute. He stood in my place. And what my sins deserved, He bore in His own body. So I'm ever indebted and grateful to the God-man who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all my disease. All gone. All gone. Oh, listen. When sin is pardoned, the soul is renewed. In verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Now, when He heals all of our diseases, our guilt and our shame is remitted, or it's gone. The deformity and the sickness of the soul is cured. And another thing, he says here, that God is the sole sovereign author of all spiritual blessings. Who? Look at that word there. Who? Who? Who's who? Who's who in the 20th century? Is still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who is he talking about here? It's God. God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? All of them. And notice now the writer here, the sweet singer of Israel, David the king, he refers all to God. Nothing to himself. Nothing in regard to his own merit, in regard to his own strength. All, not the pardon of one sin, is merited by me, the king says. Not of the millions and millions and billions of sins that a man commits in a lifetime, and the sins that David had committed. He said not one, and not the pardon of one sin that I've committed do I accredit to myself. Oh, I have not cured one disease by myself. I do not owe it to my power or to my strength or to my free will. He, God alone, He alone is the Prince of pardon. He alone can give pardon, everlasting pardon. He alone's the physician that restores me. He alone is the redeemer that delivers me. How evil and how wrong it is for you and I to attempt to divide the praise between God and ourselves. Let's give God all the glory. He did it all. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? And here, God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, another thing is said here is when sin is pardoned, the punishment that's due it is remitted. When sin is pardoned, the punishment due sin gets my sin remitted. It's gone. Because the punishment fell on him. See? It's not that God compromised his holiness. He didn't compromise. The only way that God can be just, the only way that God can live with me and live with you is that sin must be punished. And so he sent his son. His son, in the womb of a virgin, become a man, took upon himself human flesh, a man. And as a man, sinless, from the cradle to the grave, no sin charged to him, only our sins. Our sins was transferred to him. And he paid what we owed. He paid all that we owed. Took all the punishment that was due us as sinners. He was punished in his own body. When sin is pardoned, the punishment due it's remitted. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? And let me tell you this before I quit. When sin is pardoned, it's perfectly pardoned. Perfectly. Look down there and verses 12 and 13. He said, verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him." Now, in the Old Testament, the word fear means faith. Under that legal economy of the Old Testament under the law, they used the word fear, but it means faith. So great is his mercy towards them that fear him, that have confidence, that have faith in him. Now listen to this. I said to you that when man's sins are pardoned, perfectly pardoned. Perfectly pardoned. We'll never rise up in against him in judgment. I'm telling you, you talk about good news. That Christ died in my stead and place and room, bore the penalty due me in his own body, covered me with righteousness, made me accepted in the Beloved, and I'll never stand in judgment for my sins. Don't tell me that's good news for me. That's good. You may not be a sinner. I don't know. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. There's no soundness in me. I'm full of bruises and putrefying sores. I need help more than human invention can give me. I need divinity. I need God to help me. That's how bad I am. I'm so bad I can't be good. He took my sins, pardoned them perfectly, see. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. That's a long distance there, aren't they? Now, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Oh, listen. The east and the west are the greatest distance in the world. The east and the west. The two can never meet together. East and west can never meet together. Couldn't the United States, when they laid the railroad from the east and they started in the Pacific in California and started towards the east, and the east and the west met. But in space, the east and the west can never come together. Never, never, never. So when sin is pardoned, forgiven by God, it's never charged again. You're never charged with it again if it's pardoned by God. It's all gone. It's forgot about. He made an end of it. He's cast it as far from the east is from the west. And these two can never meet. The guilt of our sin and the guilt of our shame of what we are can no more return than the east can become west and the west. Oh, listen. The God who has none above him, he's the one who said this. God is the highest you can get. There's no higher than God. Supreme authority. There's none below him that can resist him. He said, "Who art thou, O man, that repliest against God?" He said in another place that the armies of heaven cannot say unto him, "What doest thou?" or resist his hand. His arm is not short that he cannot say. Ah, listen. None can control him. None can control God. None can resist him. And that's what he said. Listen, if all the peoples in the whole wide world would come down here at this little old place in West Virginia this morning and line up as far as they can find and come by and shake your hand and say, "We pardon you for everything that you've ever done." What would that mean? If God would withhold his pardon, what would that prophet do? It would prophet you nothing, would it? Well, what more can I say than I've said? Huh? I don't know anything more to say. Read some more here if you want me to. He said, "Like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. So the Lord pitieth them that believes in Him. For He knoweth our frame. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. You see, when He created Adam, He created him out of the dust. There wasn't nothing before Adam. And He created the dust. And the dust came from nothing. See? He remembereth that we are dust. And David says, oh, the shortness of life. He said, as for man, his days are as grass. I just mowed my grass. I mowed some of it Friday and Saturday, where it was a little bit high. All that lay up there was dead. And I went along with my hand, just scooped it up like that. Dead grass. As for man, his days are as grass. That's shortness of life. You ain't here very long. I've been here almost 74 years and seemed like nothing. It seemed like yesterday when I came here and started in the fifth grade. Yesterday. And it's gone. His days are as grass, as a flower of the field. He flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it. And it's gone. That's how short it is, Pat. It's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Oh, He comes and takes us from our employment, from our friends, from everybody. Shortness of life. Oh, my soul. But listen, He increases His confidence in God by saying this. He said, now I know how short my life is. But He said, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that believe in Him, and His righteousness unto His children's children. Lord bless us. Let's stand. We'll meet again this evening.